Lord Jesus Christ, you are alive and reign at the right hand of the Father. Come and be with us here this morning in the power of your Spirit, as you once came to the woman of Samaria sat by the well. Amen. John's Gospel tells us later on the story of Jesus healing a man born blind. And I wonder what it would have been like to have been born blind, never able to see, and then in later life, as an adult, to receive sight, to acquire an entirely new sense. Perhaps it would be a little like what happens to all Christians when they come to faith in Jesus and have the Holy Spirit poured into their hearts and gain a new sense for the Spirit, a newfound recognition of the Spirit's work, a new aspect on the world now opened up. And that is Spirit with a capital S, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Nothing to do with the mind-body-spirit shelf in Waterstones, the one with all the tarot cards and things. Not spiritual, but the Holy Spirit. For Christians, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. As St. John puts it in the words we heard last week, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. And what is it like to be born of the Spirit? Well, just as the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In a word, it is a mystery, a reality, a true thing, but not one can hope to grasp so easily. I should say that to read the Bible without this sense of the Spirit would be a bit like reading a romantic novel without having the first idea of what romantic love is like. Well, you'd think, all these people are really behaving very strangely, but I can't possibly think why that is. And so to today's Gospel reading, Jesus is talking about the things of the Spirit. The woman wants to talk about things of the earth, about social etiquette, how Jews and Samaritans relate to each other, about traditions, about Joseph and his well, or just the mundane matter of getting water out of the well for daily use. That is not to say that she is stupid or simply a foil for Jesus. By the end, she clearly comes to enter into that realm of the Spirit herself and realise that Jesus is the Saviour. We'll see how that happens. I'll briefly pick out three ways in which Jesus' words brimming over with the life of the Spirit, first dampen, wet, then soak through all his conversation with the woman at the well. First, they talk about water. She thinks he means literal drinking water, but he, of course, means something else, a deeper spiritual need. And I wonder, when Jesus meets us, not likely beside wells, but in the places where we live our lives, when Jesus meets us, how his offer sounds to us, taking up the language of our own wants and needs, to show us the one thing truly needful, the one thing our hearts most deeply desire, even if at first we do not know that. Something that Jesus seems to think is more easily recognised in pictures than in straightforward words. Images of water, of wine, of light, and of home. And second, if you thought that Jesus was just going to use the woman's comments as a sort of jumping off point for some lofty religious musings, then surprisingly, he then turns and asks her to go and get her husband. The conversation turns to her life, to its difficulties, its unhappiness, its sin. As it says in the prayer book funeral service, "Thou knowest, Lord, the secrets of our hearts. Shut not thy merciful ears unto our prayer." It's a cliche to say that whatever people do in the privacy of their own homes is their own business. But if Jesus is our friend, then surely we want to invite him into our homes. If we have put on Christ, if Christ is closer to us than we are to ourselves, then how could we want to keep any part of our life from him? And if we trust he is on our side, even the one come to save us, in Cranmer's words again, our holy and most merciful Saviour, our most worthy Judge eternal, then perhaps we might even dare to let Jesus into our hidden lives. And note how the woman of Samaria, who first quibbled about even giving Jesus a drink of water, is not offended by what he says. She doesn't say, "How dare you talk about my private life?" She is beginning to sense that he is the Saviour of the world. And tellingly, at the end of the Gospel, the Samaritans don't tell Jesus to go away. Here, she says, "Is a man who told me everything I've ever done." And they don't say, "Well, if he's a prophet like that, keep him away from us." They embrace him, even though he knows all they have done, because they know he also is the Saviour of the world. And finally, that question of worship. Do we worship on that mountain or this one? Mount Gerizim or Mount Sion? And it might sound like a silly question to us. It is not a silly question for the woman. It is a question about the true worship of the living God. Jesus replies, "The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Worship in spirit and in truth. What can I say? But if you've seen it, you know it. The Spirit pouring God's love into our hearts. The Spirit praying within us, "Abba, Father," groaning with groans too deep for words, testifying to Christ, giving us faith in Christ, leading us into all truth. Indeed, a truth greater than our everyday wants and needs, a truth greater than our private hidden sins, a truth greater even than special places and forms of words. As the poet said, prayer is more than an order of words. To finish, brothers and sisters, you know that there is, of course, a virus spreading throughout this country, throughout this world at the moment. As Philip said, we are hoping to keep our doors open as long as we can, for it is good, Lord, for us to be here. But we know in other countries, in Italy, for example, churches have had to close their doors. We must be prepared for that sort of eventuality. And so my words to you are, remember, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God indeed has given us churches and preaching and sacraments and fellowship and beautiful things like this building to help build us up in the knowledge and the love of him. But he is always with you, always there to worship in spirit and in truth. For the angels are always praising God in heaven, and the church, united with Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, is always available to join in. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.